Hey there, you spine-chilling specters and ghoulish goblins. Welcome back to another Freaky Friday edition of the Horror Report. It's that time again, where we brave the shadows and peel back the curtain of the macabre to bring you the latest blood-curdling updates from the horror sphere. I'm your ghost host with the most, the one pulling the strings behind the cobweb curtain, Dr. Golula. On tonight's ghastly gathering, we're slicing right into the meat of the matter with some box office numbers that are, well, dead on arrival. Some titles you might have heard whispered in the dark recesses of your local theater, others lurking just out of sight, waiting for their chance to pounce. We're kicking off with a countdown from 5 to numero uno, examining the cadaverous corpses of horror's top grossing flicks this past weekend. It's a necromancer's spellbook of spellbinding grosses and bewitching percentages. After we've danced with those devils, we'll be summoning forth the sinister spirits tripping lightly through our world, with news feed straight from the netherworld. We're talking trailers that will have you trembling, sequels that slice sharper than the last, and casting curses that could raise the dead. Then, just when you think it's safe to hide under the covers, we're dragging you kicking and screaming into the depths of entertainment, where the lines between games, movies, and screams are as blurred as a banshee in a fog. So, tighten your straitjackets, and make sure your safety word is at the ready. Because here at the Horror Report, we don't just report the horror, we revel in it. Stick around to the bitter end, my fiendish friends, and I'll tell you how to lend your own eerie voice to our ever-growing congregation of creeps. Trust me, it's a seance of cinema you won't want to miss. Let's embrace the darkness together. After all, that's where the fun begins. Stay tuned, the nightmare is just getting started. And remember, sleep is for the weak. Hey, horror hounds, it's your ghost host with the most, Dr. Golula, cracking open another fresh casket of spooky box office stats to see which films are killing it and which are just plain dead on arrival. So, grab your popcorn and a protective talisman because we're diving into this past weekend's blood-soaked box office countdown. Starting us off at number 5, Crunchyroll made a daring play with Spy X Family Code, White, raking in $4,824,993. While not your traditional horror, this anime flick spliced together suspense and the supernatural, proving there's room at the box office for more than just blood and guts. Lionsgate Films crept into the number 4 slot with The Ministry of Unjinlemanly Warfare. With $8,913,698 earned, this dark horse combined war and sinister elements that resonated with those of you who like your history with a twist of terror. In spot number 3, Warner Brothers continues to stomp through with Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, pulling in $9,570,463. Dropping less than 40%, it shows that giant monsters still have monstrous appeal. Fourth week in, and these titanic terrors aren't relinquishing their throne without a fight. Now, Universal Pictures swooped into the second spot with its debut of Abigail, cashing in a cool $10,297,110. This vampiric tale sank its teeth into the pulse of the box office, whispering sweet nothings to horror and action fans alike. First week out and already this close to the top. Fucking impressive, and reigning supreme at number 1 is A24's Civil War, in its second week, with a haul of $11,127,752. Now, I know what you're thinking. Hey, Dr. Golula, isn't A24 the artsy-fartsy shit? Well, fuck yes, it is, but you've gotta admit, these motherfuckers know how to chill our bones and make us beg for more. Civil War might have dropped more than 50%, but it keeps its gory crown for now. That wraps up this weekend's horror box office throwdown. Money talks, and it's screaming for more scares. Remember, horror isn't just about the cash, though, it's about that skin-crawling sensation. Now, don't go turning into a ghost just yet. We've got more sinister stories to spew your way. Stay tuned. And now, let's sink our fangs into the creepy, dread-infused new trailer for Oz Perkins' latest night terror, Longlegs. Motherfuckers, if you've been hungering for something to give you the heebie-jeebies, your twisted wishes have been granted. This shit is as unsettling as a whisper in a dark alley. The teaser, unleashed upon us poor souls without a warning, is like a Lovecraftian puzzle, a murky blend of occult horror and psychological thrills, but with the grim cinematic touch of Perkins. And hold on to your asses, cuz Nicolas Cage is our fucking boogeyman, the titular serial killer whose presence looms over the trailer like a shroud of death, yet his face is shrouded in mystery. Artful teases maneuver through each frame, hinting at a lurking monstrosity we're dying to see. Micah Monroe, our kick-ass FBI agent Lee Harker, is on the prowl, a beacon of light in a void of darkness. We're used to seeing Monroe navigating terrifying landscapes, remember, It Follows. And here, she looks ready to wrestle hell itself. With glimpses of disturbingly lifelike dolls and riddles of the esoteric, this investigation is clearly far from fucking standard. Yet ready for a descent into madness, folks. Weaving through the teaser are shots of Blair Underwood, K. Kiernan Shipka, Alicia Witt, and Lisa Chandler, a cast that promises performances as haunting as the subjects they're delving into. Let's face it, when Kiernan Shipka's involved, you know you're not walking away unscathed. There's something wickedly delicious about Shipka's brand of innocence twisted by terror. The promise of heavyweight actors exploring the lunatic fringes of this serial killer's mind map. Shut up and take my money already. And how about that fucking poster? The latest offering is as enigmatic as everything else surrounding Longlegs. We have our agent, her back against the existential dread, facing down what's surely the embodiment of nightmares yet to be revealed. It's a smart move by Neon, they know how to tantalize and torment. The marketing bastards, the true enigma is what lurks at the heart of Longlegs. What drives a man to such grotesque extremes? Is it the classic tale of human depravity or something much more unholy? Listen, I've been saying it since the early buzz, Longlegs could be the sleeper hit to spark a resurgence in the highbrow horror market. Perkins has this uncanny skill to craft atmospheric dread, to snatch audiences into his morose daydreams, and it looks like he's spinning his web tighter than ever. As the release creeps closer with its July 12th date etched in blood on our calendars, anticipation festers. My horror-hungry fiends, stay vigilant. We'll bring you every depraved update as they slice their way to the surface. Will, Longlegs, be the rapturous descent into darkness we're lusting after? Will Cage deliver a performance that chills to the bone? Only time will tell, but let's not kid ourselves. Even if we can guess the shades of terror, Longlegs might paint, we're all going to line up, popcorn in hand, morbid curiosity raring to go. We want that torment, those frissons of fear, and we'll be the first to admit it, we love every fucked up second of it. For now, revel in the shivers the Longlegs trailer sends down your spine and keep the light on. Because, dear listeners, the real thrill is in not knowing what hides in the dark corners of Oz Perkins' mind until it's too late. Stay creepy, and stay tuned for more Longlegs coverage right here on The Horror Report. Alright, you sick motherfuckers, let's slice into something that's been causing a bloody stir in the horror community, the upcoming film, Stream. Now, if you're like me and your thirst for gore wasn't quenched by Terrifier 2 Feet, then brace yourselves. Stream is flowing your way this August, and it's been teased to be as gnarly as a meat grinder fuckfest at a barbed wire factory. Now, let's get our hands dirty with the gory details. Much like a fresh corpse washing up on the riverbanks, Deadline is the one who spilled the guts on this one. They're saying that almost the entire crew of sickos that brought you Terrifier 2 Feet is back. Yeah, you heard that right. Producer Phil Falcone, composer Paul Wiley, and Damian Leone, the madman behind the Terrifier series batshit brutal special effects, are reunited like a fucked up family. But instead of Art the Clown carving up your nightmares, this time around we've got a horde of deranged killers marauding through a goddamn hotel. And what's spookier than being stuck in a place where the threat could lurk behind any corner? Even room service might serve up your decapitated head on a silver fucking platter. The game's afoot as the Keenan family gets wrapped up in a diabolically twisted killfest where creative slaughter is pretty much the go-to party trick. Now hold onto your seats because this ride gets bumpier. Stream is swarming with horror royalty. Jeffrey Combs, that reanimator legend, is returning to grace us with his presence. We've got Danielle Harris, the Scream Queen from the Halloween franchise. Tony Todd, the motherfucking Candyman himself, is here to sweeten the pot. Tim Reed from It joins the fray, and Dee Wallace, who's been our horror mom since E.T., is on board too. And as if we haven't creamed our jeans enough, David Howard Thornton from Terrifier brings the cherry on top vibe. But it's not just the cast that's got us biting our nails down to bloody stumps. The plot, oh, the deliciously demented plot. The Keenans think they're in for some family bonding, but what's waiting for them is a one-way ticket to a bloodbath bonanza. With killers engaging in a morbid competition for the gruesome kill of the night award, it's like the wrath of every horror movie icon got reincarnated in one freakish hotel. Director Michael Levy is fucking thrilled, saying they're psyched to partner with Iconic Events releasing again. And why the hell wouldn't they be? This project is promising to blow our horror-hungry minds just like Terrifier 2 Feet next snapped its way into our hearts. So, my fellow fright fiends, mark your rod-riddled calendars for August 21st. Because if you thought Terrifier 2 Feet made you squirm, Stream is about to take your senses to a whole new bloody dimension. And if the hype is even half true, we're in for a ferocious feast of fright. The anticipation is burning through my veins like a shot of adrenaline straight to the heart. Stay glued for more updates on Stream, and don't forget, this summer is about to get a whole lot bloodier. Keep the lights off and your blades sharp, because this ride ain't for the faint of heart. Stay creepy, stay bloody, and as always, I'll be keeping a severed eye out for the latest horror to share with you on The Horror Report. Alright, Horror Hounds, let's shift gears and dive into something I bet you can't wait to hear. I'm talking about the casting announcement that's got the internet buzzing and my dark little heart all aflutter. Al fucking Pacino, the Godfather himself, is teaming up with Dan Stevens, yes, the guy who battled a mini vamp in Abigail and looked damn fine in those excellent shirts in Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, for an exorcism movie that's based on real freaking events. The movie, it's called The Ritual. I shit you not, this sounds like a match made in hell, in the best way possible. I mean, come on, who wouldn't want to see Pacino playing a badass priest with a Bible in one hand and a holy water soaked cross in the other, driving demons back to the depths of hell? It's enough to make any horror fan salivate with anticipation. And when you add Dan Stevens into this satanic soup, you know it's going to be a film that dares you to watch it with the lights off. Now, the Variety boys tell us that XYZ Films grabbed the rights to this bad boy, planning to release it in theaters in 2025, with blood red carpets and all. They're also looking to score some deals at the upcoming Cannes market. Damn, guys, Cannes. That's usually more art house than our house, but hey, when Pacino's involved, even the highbrow crowd has to take notice. The gritty details, the plot centers around the most thoroughly documented exorcism in American history. The story follows Emma Schmidt's case. Look her up, her possession was more twisted than a pretzel and had priests scratching their heads harder than bedbug bites. Pacino and Stevens will be donning the holy garb as the mismatched duo of priests tasked with kicking some demonic ass and taking names. Or, you know, saving Emma's soul from eternal damnation. Tomato, tomato. But let's ponder this gruesome twosome. Al Pacino hasn't really delved into the realm of horror before. Sure, he's played some sinister characters, Satan in, the devil's advocate, anyone. This time, though, he's fighting for the good guys. It's fresh meat for him, and I can't wait to see how he sinks his teeth into this role. The intensity Pacino brings to the screen could possibly make The Ritual one of the most compelling exorcism movies since the ones that gave us Sleepless Nights back in the 70s. Dan Stevens, on the other hand, has been dabbling in the dark arts of horror and thriller genres. Remember, The Guest, Stevens can flip the switch from charming to chilling quicker than a light in a haunted house. Combine that with Pacino's heavyweight performance, and holy shit, we could have a film that sets the standard for all future exorcism movies. Goodbye pea soup, hello psychological torment and soul-wrenching drama. So, what's behind the recent surge of exorcism flicks tearing through Tinseltown, you ask? Beats the hell out of me. But if Hollywood heavyweights like Pacino are now joining the fray, it's a clear sign that filmmakers are conjuring up something wicked. They're breathing new life or death, if we're being ominous, into a genre that was getting as stale as a corpse in a crypt. Could The Ritual inspire a new wave of exorcism movies that do more than just twist heads and spew curses? Only time will tell, creeps. But I'll say this much. With a cast that could grace the Academy's wet dreams and a story grounded in terrifying truth, The Ritual has all the makings of a movie that'll haunt the holy fuck out of us. And that's a wrap on this devilish delight, Haunters of the Night. Stick around as we slice and dice into more of the macabre madness here on The Horror Report with your ghost host, Dr. Golula. Keep the candles lit and the spells recited, because you never know when the next chilling chapter awaits. All right, all you dwellers of the wasteland, huddle up next to your Pip-Boys because we're venturing into the realm of apocalyptic excellence, where discussion Fallout's TV adaptation and, holy shit, are we excited about this news or what? Prime Video has dropped a bomb more explosive than a Fat Man launch. Fallout is officially confirmed for a second season. Now, fans of the seminal game series were both enthusiastic and skeptical about the leap from console to screen. Could Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, the dynamic duo behind Westworld, pull off a crossover that stays true to the source material? Well, fuck me sideways, they didn't just pull it off, they knocked it out of the park, through the stratosphere, and straight into orbit with rave reviews and crazy fan reactions. You've got Ella Purnell, Walton Goggins, and Aaron Moden, frankly, a cast strong enough to withstand any radiation storm, delivering compelling performances that capture the bizarre, darkly humorous essence of Fallout's universe. And let's not forget the rich praise for the supporting acts by those fantastic character actors we all love. We've got folks dressed in postman uniforms delivering death instead of letters, and cities teeming with mutated creatures. That, my friends, is some engrossing, edge-of-your-seat television. Fallout's triumph lies in its refusal to be a lazy copy-paste job of the game's narratives. Instead, Nolan and Joy crafted an original story that resonates with fans and newbies alike, seamlessly integrating elements that made the games irresistible. The series paints a vivid picture of the post-apocalyptic, retro-futuristic world where atomic power went to shit and left society in smoldering ruins. It's not just about roaming the remains of a world that once was, it's a deep dive into what remains of humanity. Now, season one ended with major teasers that had us all shaking with anticipation. Questions lingered in the dusty air: what's next for our survivors? How will the intricate politics of this fractured civilization unfold? And, for the love of all that's holy, will we finally see those mammoth bastards, the Deathclaws, in their full, terrifying glory? Sure as hell, with the confirmation of Season 2, we're locked and loaded for another round of survival, tense alliances, and perhaps a ghouls and super mutants throwdown. Patience might be a virtue, but it's fucking hard to practice when we know another batch of episodes is simmering in the irradiated pot. Until more series news unearths from the wasteland, fans, keep your Nuka-Cola cold, your power armor dusted, and your spirits high. This TV adaptation is not just surviving, it's thriving in the apocalypse, and we are all here for the twisted, darkly comic Pandora's box that Season 2 will undoubtedly crack open. The success of Fallout's adaptation doesn't just echo through the bombed-out buildings of its setting, it screams triumph in the face of those who doubted a video game crossover could captivate so thoroughly. For fans, it solidifies the depth of the Fallout universe, a world ripe with story potential, ripe for exploration beyond pixels and controllers. So, stay strapped, not just with your weaponry, but with your hope for another round of jaw-dropping twists and turns in the second season of this human saga set against humanity's radioactive remnants. And remember, as the slogan goes, war never changes, but television, especially when tapping into the rich vein of a beloved franchise like Fallout, sure as fuck can change, and for the better. Stay creepy, stay tuned, and stay ready for Fallout's next season. Alright, horror junkies, let's talk about something that's got me grinning like a Cheshire cat in a graveyard. If you've ever wondered what it'd be like to see the world at the end of days through the eyes of your feline friends, yes, those judgmental fluffballs that watch you with apocalyptic disdain, then boy, do I have a treat for you. Imagine your cozy little life disrupted by an undead shit show. That's exactly what Feral Diz, a comic series so fresh it makes a corpse seem well-preserved. This isn't your regular, run-of-the-mill zombie story. This is full-on, fur-flying horror action served with a side of whiskers and paws. Let me take you through why I'm clawing at the bit for this one. Picture this, a world where the zombie apocalypse has the living dead crawling out of their graves and stumbling down Main Street, fangs bared, eyes dead as a doornail, and what stands in their way? Three house cats, that's who. We've got Elsie, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess she's the sassy one. There's Lord Fluffy Britches, obviously royalty among moggies, and Patch, the undercat who I reckon is going to surprise us all. Now, you'd think that once the shit hits the fan, our whiskered warriors would bolt for the nearest can of tuna and kiss the humans goodbye. But no, these cats are on a mission, to find their way back home before they become zombie chow. Or am I the only one who finds the idea of zombie kibble-fied cats fucking terrifying? The brainiacs behind this scratch post escapade are none other than Tony Fleeces and Trish Forstner. Ring any bells? They should, because these two teamed up before for the hit series, Stray Dogs, which, if you didn't catch it, was basically Silence of the Lambs, meets Lady and the Tramp. And by the devil's paws, it was good. In Feral, it's like they tossed a grenade into the center of the typical zombie narrative and let it explode into a furry fury of badassery. But here's the coolest part, the creators aren't just tempting us with this meow-nificent premise, they're throwing us a freaking bone too. A trailer, some wicked cover art, and as a cherry on top, a several-page preview of the first issue, which is set to claw its way onto shelves on March 27, 2024. According to the bloodstained pages I've gotten my claws on, we're going to see this trio of feline protagonists face down rabid beasts hot on their heels in, yet this, the not-so-great outdoors. And let's just say, these cats don't forget. They'll scratch, bite, and hiss their way through hordes of ravenous zombies. It's like a Walking Dead episode where the only ones walking away are those with tails. Fleeces and Forstner have hinted that this tale, tale, is built on character dynamics, conflicts, and grudges. Now, if that isn't a reflection of cat society, I don't know what is. Here's the kicker, these cats remember everything. They aren't just going to roll over and show their bellies, these are pissed off pussycats, and holy hell, is it going to be a ride. Horror fans and cat lovers alike, this is something to pounce on. A rabies outbreak through the slitted eyes of cats, that's an infection worth spreading in my book. Feral sounds like it's going to be the perfect combo of furballs and horror thrills, and as someone who thinks the internet doesn't have nearly enough cats, this is fucking exciting. Ladies, gents, creepy crawlers of all kinds, keep your calendars clear for March 27, 2024, and your catnip at arm's reach. Feral is coming, and it's going to scratch what you didn't even know itched. Stay creepy, and as always, watch out for the fur buys. Folks, you ever find yourself doing the same shit over and over? Checking the locks at night, making sure the stove's off, Peeking under that damn bed for creepy crawlies or even worse, monsters. Well, imagine doing all that while a fucking animatronic bear with teeth-like kitchen knives is out to get you. That, my dear horror hounds, is maintenance horror for ya. Maintenance horror, ladies and gentlemen, bakes its fear right into the goddamn monotony of everyday tasks, turning the humdrum into the how the fuck are you still alive drum. Think of it as the haunted house of admin tasks, it's paper pushing but with the added thrill of almost getting murdered. Let's dig into the game that turned checking security cameras into a collective pants-shitting experience, Five Nights at Freddy's. Strap in, because it's one hell of a ride. This indie horror sensation dropped like a ghostly nuke and has been haunting the gaming scene since 2014. Developer Scott Cawthon, that motherfucker, he knew what he was doing. He snatched that age-old fear of creepy, creaking entertainment robots and stuck us in the middle of it. As a night shift worker, you're tasked to watch over Freddy Fazbear's pizza place, keeping an eye on Chuck E. Cheese from hell animatronics that roam about with a thirst for security guard blood. You're rooted to your seat, you can't move. All you're armed with is a damn bank of security monitors and a set of lights. And with every hour that ticks by, your odds of being stuffed into a goddamn furry suit, which is basically a metal death trap, increases. But why does this setup make you wanna piss your pants? Easy, it fucking magnifies your vulnerability. In Five Nights at Freddy's, no knight in shining armor's coming to save your ass. It's just you, your wits, and your ability to not fuck up the world's easiest yet deadliest gig. And let's face it, it's not just Freddy and his unholy band, maintenance horror is the bleep gift that keeps on giving. We've got other games joining this freaky ass party. You've got Dead by Daylight, where you're repairing generators while some psychopath in a mask makes you their new project. And Resident Evil, that franchise has been making inventory management the most terrifying form of Tetris you'll ever fucking play. Hell, even the simple act of watching the foggy cams in Night Trap, that cheesy classic, ramps up the dread, and not just because of the god-awful 90s fashion. It's the grassroots of survival horror, people. The horror lurks not in monstrous creatures or buckets of blood, but in your sweaty hands slipping as you try to perform brain-dead simple tasks under stress. You're not special, just a regular Joe, or Jane, trying to stay off the menu. It's why games like Puppet Combo's Night Shift squeeze terror from the most benign settings. Here you're just holding down a convenience store till, and surprise, some slasher sees you and thinks it's open season on checkout clerks. And what's more horrifying than the frights themselves? The dread creeping up your spine as the mundane mutates into mayhem. It's horror that lingers because, let's face it, when you're done playing, you're gonna check that stove one more time, aren't you? As you flick on the nightlight or glance at the rearview mirror, remember, the genius of maintenance horror is the very human terror of fucking up our routines, and games like Five Nights at Freddy's made us all too keenly aware that, yes indeed, the devil really is in the goddamn details. That fucking pesky devil, friends, he's just waiting for you to miss a beat, to look the wrong way or let your guard down. In maintenance horror games, routine is everything and nothing's more human than that. So next time you play one, remember, surviving isn't just the game's challenge, it's the prize. So let that sink in while we move on to another game that has players losing their shit. Trust me, there's no shortage of freak out and fuck up in the horror gamerverse. Alright, fellow Hellraisers and Demon Slayers, let's sink our teeth into a beastly slice of horror gaming that's been buzzing in the community like a chainsaw on a bender. If there's one title that comes up when we talk hell, high octane action, and shoving a shotgun into the snarling maw of a demon, it's gotta be Doom Eternal. Now, kick back, and let me spill the gory guts on one redesigned monstrosity that's been haunting the twisted arenas of Doom Eternal. I'm talking about the Arachnotron. For the uninitiated, Doom Eternal isn't just a game, it's a demonic ballet of bullets, a sanctuary of slaughter, and it doesn't just invite you to dance with the devil, it insists. And right at the heart of this whirlwind of mayhem is the Arachnotron, a cybernetic spider demon that got a hell of a makeover since its granddaddy days in Doom 2. First off, let's rewind back to the odd days when this spider freak debuted. In Doom 2, the Arachnotron was a mini-boss turned fodder, spewing plasma death from a distance like a turret. It was pestering, sure, but nothing a solid super shotgun blast couldn't solve. Fast forward to Doom Eternal, and holy fucksticks, it's not just a cosmetic revamp, it's a turbocharged threat on spidery legs. The geniuses over at ID Software looked at this brainy arachnid and thought, you know what? Let's make this son of a bitch leap like a frenzied flea on a hot griddle. And so, the revamped Arachnotron now zips and zooms around arenas, making it a tricky target that forces you to keep moving and juggling your targets. You can't just stand there like some horror movie schmuck who hears a noise and yells, who's there? You gotta hustle, blast, and pray you can take it down before it shreds you to confetti. Speed is the name of the game here, folks. This cybernetic crawler embodies Doom, Eternals, breakneck pacing by being as aggressive as a starved hellhound at a barbecue. Its plasma turret, once atop its carapace, is like a miniaturized bat signal of your impending doom, lighting up the joint as it scuttles across ceilings and walls. You think you got a second to breathe? Think again. This terror's as relentless as an ex texting you at 2 a.m. Strategy. Oh, it's on the menu, alright. Gun it for its turret with a sticky bomb or precision bolt, and that'll shut down its long-range chaos, but get this, you cripple its gun, and now this arachnid's pissed. It'll charge you, snip at you with its metal legs like Edward fucking Scissorhands on a bender, forcing you to switch gears from sharpshooter to matador in a heartbeat. It's a thing of wicked beauty, I tell ya. The dance of dodge, shoot, and switch weapons becomes a savage poetry in motion. You'll grit your teeth, sweat, and the payoff, arguably the most satisfying glory kill in this demon-packed gore fest, you grab its leg and, shink, straight into its oversized demonic eyeball. It's like popping a gruesome pinata filled with sweet, sweet victory. But what's the big fucking deal, you ask? Well, it's smart design, baby. Doom, Eternals, gospel is movement, and the Arachnitron is a relentless preacher. It ain't just some generic spider bot demo, it's a lesson in staying on the move, prioritizing targets, and mastering your arsenal. It's a practical exam in the philosophy of what makes Doom fucking Doom. So when you power up your rig, and that infernal menu screen fires up, know that the Arachnitron isn't just another creature to put a bullet in. It's id's way of making sure the hallowed halls of gaming's greatest demon murder simulator keep pushing you to be faster, smarter, and more ruthless. Stay tuned to the Horror Report for more diabolical details on the latest and greatest that Nightmare Fuel has to offer. Keep your chainsaws revving and your BFGs loaded, folks, because demons never rest, and neither do we. Alright, you sick motherfuckers, strap yourselves in, because I'm about to take you deep into the woods with Rust Creek, and let me tell you, it's a spine-chilling ride you won't forget. You know, every so often, a film slithers out from the shadows and surprises the hell out of everyone by latching onto the spotlight. And right now, that film haunting the shit out of everyone's Netflix queue is Rust Creek. This little cinematic gem snuck onto the platform like a camouflaged predator and has been snaring viewers with an iron grip of tension and raw survivalist terror. It's the kind of flick that reminds you why you fell in love with horror thrillers in the first place. So, let's slice into the meat of this beast, shall we? Rust Creek, which dropped back in 2019, might have taken its sweet bloody time getting noticed, but since it landed on Netflix, it's been storming up the thriller charts like a goddamn tsunami. Directed by the duo of Phil Lott and Jen McGowan, it tells the story of a college student named Sawyer who takes a wrong turn, a fuck-up we've all made but never with consequences this dire, on her way to a job interview, and finds herself bushwhacked in the middle of nowhere, Kentucky. Why does Rust Creek resonate? Because it's got all the right fucking moves, people. It doesn't just throw cheap thrills at you. This movie's got the kind of edge of your seat, heart-pounding suspense that you can feel in your bones. It's like this monster is breathing down your neck with each excruciating second that Sawyer spends in that godforsaken wilderness. But what's killer about it? The movie has brains to go with its bronze. Sawyer ain't no dumb horror bimbo waiting to be hacked. It's her savvy and resourcefulness that makes rooting for her a badass experience. Hermione Corfield, who plays Sawyer, brings a real depth to the character, a tour de fucking force performance that not only grounds the film but also elevates it above your bog-standard survival fare. And what's more, it's got heart. There's none of that superficial, flashy bullshit here. You get a visceral portrayal of resilience in the human spirit that makes the suspense all the more harrowing. And let's be real, the world's a damn scary place. Rust Creek taps into that primal fear of being isolated, vulnerable, and hunted. It's relatable. It's the kind of shit that could happen to you if you took a wrong exit on the interstate. Think Deliverance, Neats, Winter's Bone, and you're starting to get the terrifying picture. Social media's eating this shit up like it was dished out by Hannibal Lecter himself. Viewers have been lighting up Twitter with their glowing fucking testimonials, all talking about how they were gripped by the story and the authentic feel of the whole ordeal. Dread Central's Tyler Dupe even called this beast palpable tension from start to finish. So, did you all catch the trailer yet? If not, you gotta check it out. It's like a siren song for horror lovers, luring you into the depths of Rust Creek, where the shadows are deep and every crunch of dead leaves could be your last. But it ain't just the vocal minority shouting about it. This movie is topping the charts, sitting pretty as the most watched thriller on Netflix. So, let me lay down the axe here. If you're scouring the Netflix graveyard, looking for a film that'll have you checking the locks and looking over your shoulder, Rust Creek is that dark horse whispering dark, wicked things in your ear. It's sneaky, it's surprising, and it's proof that sometimes, the most unassuming paths lead straight to the heart of darkness and directly into your favorite movies list. Get ready to join Sawyer's ordeal, root for her survival, and feel every flesh-crawling twist along the way. Now, seriously fuckers, what are you waiting for? Drag your asses over to Netflix and dive headlong into Rust Creek. Don't say I didn't warn you, though, 'cause you're in for one hell of an intense ride. Stay fucking creepy. Come on, all you Xenomorph fanatics, I've got some fucking juicy news to satiate that extraterrestrial appetite of yours. Hold on to your face huggers, because Aliens Expanded is about to blow your goddamn mind. This 4-hour powerhouse of a documentary is an all-you-can-eat buffet for anyone who ever wanted to dive deeper into the production and legacy of the sci-fi masterpiece, Aliens. And let's not beat around the bush, the pinnacle of any alien experience is hearing from the man who changed the game, James fucking Cameron himself. You heard that right. Cameron is gonna come on the screen and spill all the space beans on his time making the film that continued the legacy of Ripley and her tango with the nastiest bitches in the universe. But wait, there's more. Just when you thought it couldn't get any more badass, producer Gail Ann Hurd and actor Paul Reiser, who played that sleazy corporate fuck Burke, have both hopped aboard this express train to the expanded alien universe. They're promising to deliver the inside scoop with exclusive sit-down interviews because, come on, you've always wanted to hear more about how Burke could be such a fucking dick, right? Of course, you did. And as if that's not enough, this documentary is making history before it's even hit the screens. Die-hard supporters can jump on the hype train early, snatch up some exclusive packages, and even find their names in the goddamn credits. Yeah, you could be a part of the Aliens Expanded legacy. So what's the big fucking deal, you ask? Why should we give a damn about a doc making of that digs into a movie from 1986? Because, my fellow horror hounds, Aliens isn't just a movie. It's a cultural behemoth that set a standard for sci-fi horror and kicked ass with a strong female lead when that was a rarity. Shit, it changed the entire conversation about what a sequel could be, bigger, bolder, and unapologetically badass. And let's talk real, Aliens gave us some of the most iconic scenes in cinematic history. Who can forget Ripley strapping into that loader, ready to go fist to claw with the alien queen, all while delivering the immortal line, "Get away from her, you bitch." That's the stuff horror dreams are made of, motherfuckers. This doc's taking us on a journey from concept to mayhem laid in silver screen glory. The detailed scene-by-scene breakdowns are gonna have us reliving every pulse rifle round, every beeping motion tracker, and every drop of acidic blood from those godforsaken xenomorphs. Now, like a facehugger clamping onto your head, Aliens Expanded clings to your brain with the promise of new, never-before-heard stories of behind-the-scenes curses and conflicts. It's deep diving into the mythos and the madness of one of the most dangerous film shoots in the industry, and we get to learn about all that shit that went down that made the franchise what it is today. Wrapping this all up with a bow made of entrails and space guts, this documentary ain't just for the fans. It gives any movie-loving son of a bitch out there a chance to see what happens when visionaries don't give a flying fuck about playing it safe and instead create something we're still talking about almost 4 decades later. And that, my friends, is why it's significant. Aliens Expanded is not just expanding the alien universe, it's expanding the fucking legacy. So prep your cargo ships, and get ready for a 2024 release that's bound to have us talking, theorizing, and, most importantly, worshipping at the altar of aliens once more. Aliens Expanded, a title that promises to probe the depths of this beloved horror franchise like Ripley probing those alien hives, is coming at us faster than a chestburster at a birthday party. Stay creepy, and stay excited, motherfuckers. The Stranger's surprising ride on Hulu, well, freaks and fiends, there's a sly little thriller that's been sneaking up the ranks over on Hulu. And dare I say, it's gripping enough to make the dead sit up and pay attention. I'm talking about The Stranger, a spectacle of suspense that's got the online chat rooms brewing with the kind of hype that would make Freddy's blades itch with envy. Let's dissect this baby, shall we? The Stranger revolves around an unsuspecting rideshare driver's descent into a night of sheer terror, all thanks to one Hollywood Hills passenger with more secrets than the fucking Vatican. Starring the Scream Queen herself, Micah Monroe, you might remember this absolute badass from The Chilling, It Follows. Now, she's back, steering the wheel and heading straight into the abyss. What makes this motherfucker of a thriller stick, you wonder? Could it be the panic-stricken pacing, or perhaps it's the absolutely bonkers turns in the narrative that double back on themselves like a snake eating its tail? It could be, but it's no secret that Monroe's performance is a goddamn centerpiece. And let's not skim over Dane DeHaan, a guy who's no slouch in the freaky flick department either. If you've been aching for more of his unsettling screen presence since, A Cure for Wellness, baby, you're in for a treat. But here's where The Stranger gets really juicy, This sucker started life as a Quibi series, and you should remember Quibi, that short-lived streaming service that folded faster than a shitty poker hand. In a fascinating turn of events, the story has been Frankensteined into a film, and against all odds, it's hit the ground running like a bat out of hell. Fans are eating it up, and Twitter's all lit up like a damn jack-o'-lantern, with all sorts of chatter unpacking every deliciously dark twist and turn. It's devoured its way to become the talk of the fucking town as Hulu's most watched thriller. Now, the pivot from an episodic series to a feature film ain't an easy ride, that's for fucking sure. But The Stranger seems to thrive in its new skin, with viewers flocking like vultures to a corpse. Admittedly, I gotta hand it to the folks who sliced and diced this from a series to a film. They've somehow managed to retain all the suspense, the urgency, and the claustrophobic tension that keep his horror hounds howling. Viewers can't seem to get enough of it. It fucks with expectations and commands a level of engagement that has us rooting for Monroe from the driver's seat to the inevitable face-off with obscure nefariousness. If The Stranger is wrong, then who the hell wants to be right? I mean, shit, there's a lingering dread in this story so thick you could cut it with Leatherface's chainsaw. A chilling notion that this shit could happen today, to any of us, when all we're doing is trying to make a buck. It's the mundane reality with a side of abject horror, and it's that blend that marinates in your gut long after the credits roll. So, my dear purveyors of the perverse, take my word or don't, I'm just a ghostly messenger, but if you're craving a thrill ride that's been forged in the fires of what the fuckery, get your fix with The Stranger on Hulu. It's a relentless romp into panic, with performances bright enough to light up the darkest corners of your depraved hearts. And with that, freaky folks, let's catch a breath before diving into our next slice of horror heaven. Stay strapped in, Dr. Golula will be right back. Wednesday Addams, that enigmatic icon of goth charm, is poised to return, and let me tell you, creeps and fiends, it looks like the shadows are only gonna deepen in season 2. Fresh blood joins the already stellar cast, with Tindiwe Newton stepping into the morose alcoves of Nevermore Academy, and I've gotta wonder, could she be bringing a whole new vein of darkness into the mix? And then there's Steve Buscemi, fucking Buscemi, people, taking on the role of the new principal. If that isn't a recipe for delicious, dark as tar drama, I don't know what is. Now, Jenna Ortega, the girl who redefined Wednesday with a mix of deadpan delivery and fierce independence, is back, confirming that this next season will veer towards the more macabre corners of the Addams Family lore. She teases an even bolder approach to all that eeriness, and fuck, I'm all here for it. If season 1 was a creepshow, season 2 is shaping up to be a full-blown supernatural freak fest. With whispers of digging deeper into the mystical narratives and even darker storytelling, I'm champing at the bit to see what kind of twisted, familial skeletons will come clattering out of the Addams' closet. The first season of Wednesday danced at fine line, teetering between the oddball legacy of the Addams' and teenage angst that's fierce enough to raise a pack of werewolves. And by clawing its way through mysteries twisted with psychic abilities and beasties slain, Wednesday, as a series, has given itself the permission to punch through that famously macabre ceiling into a sky dark with promise. What happens when you've tasted blood and crave more? You get bolder, you get darker, you go for the jugular. And fan expectations, skewed like a head on a crooked neck, they're high as fuck. Audiences are ready for a season that bellows from the void, thriving on intrigue and terror. Already, Ortega has set the stake high, claiming this upcoming season is on a path to explore a side of Wednesday that's fiercer, more cunning, thus posing the question, how much more Addams can it get? Will we see more of those tangled relationships and ever-present perils turned up a notch? Are we gonna see Wednesday lead the charge, becoming the Addams matriarch in the making, towing the line between the abhorrently adorable and the downright bone-chilling? So yeah, it's clear as a moonlit night that the bar is soaring for the Nevermore crew. And with the blood-drenched baton handed off to season 2, only time will tell if the show can conjure up that dark magic charm and keep us ensnared in its gothic embrace, or if it'll choke like a vampire in a sunlit room. And to those fresh faces, Newton and Buscemi, we tilt our wide-brimmed hats to your arrival at Nevermore. Show us what skeletons rattle in your closets, yank us into the tale that will have us cuddling our familiars a bit closer on those cold, dead nights. Wednesday, my delightfully dark brethren, Wednesday Addams, we open our arms to your return. Paint our screens with the colors of the night, drench us in your macabre mischief, and for the love of all things unholy, deliver us to the deeper, darker, bolder horizons you've so wickedly promised. Stay creepy, stay tuned, motherfuckers. Alright, you bloodthirsty gamers and retro junkies out there, huddle up, because this next piece of news is going to hit you like a holy water bombshell. If you ever spend hours wrapped around your N64 controller, struggling to whip your way through pixelated ghouls and bats in the infamous Castlevania Legacy of Darkness, then boy, do I have a treasure chest of a tidbit for you. A recent eureka moment has struck the gaming world with the force of a fully powered vampire killer, and it comes courtesy of the dedicated YouTuber Jupiter Climb. This crafty explorer of the arcane has uncovered a spell that is about as legendary as the Belmont clan itself. Yes, my friends, a variation of the Konami code has been unearthed in Castlevania, Legacy of Darkness, and it's like finding out your family heirloom is actually a map to Dracula's hidden stash. Dig this, by casting this newly found incantation on the main menu, you can shatter the chains that locked away all four goddamn characters right from the get-go. And not just the heroes, motherfuckers, but their ass-kicking alternate costumes, plus the hard mode difficulty, as well. That means no more slogging through the mire to unlock Reinhardt and Carrie, or rescuing every last pixelated brat to claim your right to play as Henry Oldry. This shit is like the Necronomicon of cheat codes. And for the lore mongers and Easter egg hunters, this is like stumbling into Dracula's library and finding the fucker actually kept a diary. Inputting C up, C down, C left, and C right in a sacred dance, followed by a soulful press of the L, R, and Z might as well be the modern-day magical incantation. And boom, you're not just Cornell clawing through beasts, you're wielding the full arsenal of Legacy's chosen ones. Now, before you lose your collective shits, let me pour some holy water on this and bless you with the knowledge that this isn't the only code Jupiter Climb exorcised from this beast. There are more spells that'll stock your inventory to the fucking roof, supercharge your attack power, and have you spitting more fire than a pissed off red dragon. The downside, for anyone sporting the stars and stripes, these particular codes are like crosses to a vampire, they ain't gonna work outside Japan and Europe. But let's take a moment to speculate here. Why the hell did these codes remain buried in the digital crypt for decades? Was it Konami's way of throwing a bone to diehard fans, a secret handshake for those in the damnedest depths of gaming purgatory? Or were they simply forgotten relics, debug codes left in the game for holy rites of quality assurance, now resurrected as unholy user advantages? Regardless of their origins, this discovery flips the legend on its head. It's a reminder that there are still ancient bloody crypts to explore within these haunted cartridges of ours, and tales yet to be revisited and retold. It's a bloody call to arms, or rather, thumbs, to fire up that N64 and load up Legacy of Darkness once more. This time is a goddamn monster-slaying powerhouse. It's a testament to the undying love of retro gaming and the tenacity of fans, and perhaps, a reminder from the grave that the eternal battle against the forces of darkness, both real and pixelated, is ever-evolving and always ripe for rediscovery. So, take it from your ghost host with the most, Dr. Golula, if you think you've mastered every shadowed corner of your favorite horror hellscapes, think again. It's revelations like these, in the hallowed halls of horror gaming, that keep the blood pumping and the night eternally young. Keep gaming, keep slaying, and remember, the night has many secrets left to unveil. Stay creepy, motherfuckers. Alright, freaks and fright fanatics, if you've been dancing with the devil in the pale moonlight over in Gun Interactive's bloody rendition of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, then you're gonna go apeshit over this next slice of news. Dedicated players, those among you who've churned your way through enough gristle to hit the coveted level 99, well, you're in for a goddamn treat. Starting April 30th, to keep things spicy in the desolate wastelands of Muirito County, the game's devs are rolling out a slick, free collection of level 99 blackout cosmetics. They're saying thank you for the buckets of blood you've spilt and the screams you've relished. Now, what's better than an all-black chainsaw skin called oil slick to flaunt your mastery? Black paints the town, and it paints your chainsaw too. Imagine Leatherface, that hulking fleshmonger, revving a chainsaw dripping with a dark sheen like the soul of the night. It's like poetry in motion, motherfuckers, except there's nothing tender about this prose. And guess what, if you've already hustled your way to level 99, these grim threads will be unlocked faster than you can scream, holy shit, at your next unsuspecting victim. Imagine the cook and Julie's outfits looking like they've been dumped in a vat of pure, unadulterated terror, that's what you're getting, and it's as badass as it sounds. But it ain't just for hoots and gore, folks. Customizing characters in a game like this, it's deeper than a shallow grave. It's a statement, a signature on your bloody work of art. You're the director of your own horror show, and your characters are the stars, kitted out in the kind of garb that says, yeah, I did slice and dice my way through this madness, and I look damn fine doing it. It's like a high five from the abyss for all your efforts. Besides looking like a butcher with an avant-garde streak, these blackout cosmetics serve one more hidden purpose. They tap into that primal part of the horror gamer's brain that loves to customize their nightmare fuel. Because if you're going to be hunted or do the hunting, you might as well do it in style, right? And nothing says, I'm the apex predator around these haunted parts, like turning Leatherface into a shadow lurking behind every corner, chainsaw at the ready. Now, for those of you new to the slaughterhouse and feeling a tad left out, don't you worry your pretty severed heads about it. Hack away, rise through the ranks, and before you know it, you too can be painting Naruto County red and black. Let's be crystal clear, this isn't about playing dress up. Oh, no, this is a psychological game, friends. Whether you're the prey or the powerhouse with the power tool, donning these dark digs sends a clear signal, you are not to be trifled with. For those of you who've embraced the gut-wrenching terror that is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, this cosmetic update is like a fresh coat of blood on an old friend. It's not just DLC, it's Leatherface's coming out party for the fashionably unhinged. And you're all fucking invited. So, mark your calendars for the end of April, when this massacre gets a makeover. And remember, whether you're showing off with the oil-slick chainsaw or donning the blackout ensemble, in Naruto County, the horror gets personal. Keep on carving through the chaos, keep chanting the family name, you are the terror that flaps in the night, and with these new cosmetics, the darkness never looked so damn good. Stay creepy, motherfuckers. Alright, spooky ones, gather around because Dr. Golula is cooking up some fresh speculation on something invisible. You guessed it, the whispers around, the invisible man 2 feet have not only reached our ears but with each passing day, they're materializing into something we can sink our teeth into. Elizabeth Moss, who tore up the screen with her killer performance in the first installment, sat her ass down on the Happy Sad Confused podcast and served up a fresh slab of hope for us drooling fans. Moss shared that she feels very good about the project's progress, stating, "Blumhouse and my production company, we are closer than ever to cracking it. And holy shit, my ghostly gang, if that doesn't get your pulse pulsing." Now, Moss is tight-lipped about the details, but she sure as hell left a trail of breadcrumbs for us to follow. With the end of The Invisible Man, we saw Moss's Cecilia Cass fucking owning that invisibility suit. I mean, she used the bastard's own tech to take him down. That's some sweet, sweet justice right there. What has the fans, including this dearly departed DJ, absolutely buzzing is the "where do we go from here" vibe. The possibilities are as boundless as the specter-infested ether. Will Cecilia go vigilante, using the invisibility to weed out the worst of society? Or perhaps we're going south into the belly of the beast, where the technology falls into the wrong, probably greasy and definitely undeserving, hands. Dr. Golula's prognosis, this sequel could be a goddamn game changer. Lee Wanell, who sculpted the first film into a low-budget behemoth, might have handed the reins over, but the guy's gut instincts sharper than a vampire fang. Any direction they take the money-making monster that is, the Invisible Man 2 feet, one thing's for sure, it's bound to get darker, meaner, and with Moss behind the wheel, scarier than finding a used condom in your Halloween candy. But what really revs my phantom engine? Universal's had a rough ghost ride trying to resuscitate their undead moneymakers, you know, the whole Dark Universe debacle. I mean fuck, from The Last Voyage of the Demeter, Renfield, and Abigail, trying to milk Dracula's pale ass has been about as successful as a eunuch in a brothel. Yet, here comes Elizabeth Moss promising us, the Invisible Man 2 feet is inching closer to reality, and call me a believer because I'm smelling that sweet scent of success, mingling with the stench of fear. And let's not forget about Universal's next monstrous step, handing over the Wolf Man to Lee Wanell. If that shit gets your blood pumping, who knows what splendors await once the Invisible Man's tale continues to unfold. If the past is to be our crystal ball, the Invisible Man 2 feet is gearing up to be much more than just a translucent terror, it might be the specter that saves the day for Universal's stumbling monsterverse. So to all you creeps and creatures out there, keep your otherworldly orbs peeled for more hauntings and developments as the Invisible Man 2 feet creeps ever closer. And you can bet your bloody ass, when the news drops, the horror report will slash through the bullshit and bring it straight to ya. Stay tuned, stay creepy, and remember, it's what you can't see that will fuck you up royally. Alright, horror hounds, if you thought possession flicks were getting stale, don't flick off your screens yet. The Exorcism is twisting the demonology narrative into something wholly original, and it's got the cred to back up the hype. We're not talking about some two-bit, back-alley production here, this is the kind of meta-mindfuck horror needs right now. So, what's The Exorcism all about? On its surface, sure, you've got your run-of-the-mill spooks, Latin incantations, and holy water hijinks. But scrape off that cliché exterior, and you're left with a genre-bending romp through Terror Town with a meta-edge sharp enough to cut through decades of the same old exorcism tropes. Now, hold onto your heads because this shit's gonna spin faster than Regan McNeil's. Russell Crowe, who we've seen grapple with ancient demons in The Pope's Exorcist, is taking a crack at a different kind of possession, playing a washed-out actor on the edge of a mental breakdown while shooting a fucking supernatural horror film. Yeah, you heard that right. It's like if the filming of The Exorcist had a bastard child with Tropic Thunder. Let's chew on the irony here. Crowe, an actor's actor, embodies the role of Anthony Miller, probably the most meta character since John Malkovich crawled through that portal into his own mind. This guy, Miller, his whole world's a blending of reality and fiction, and not the cool kind you'd want to live in. As he shoots this horror film within the film, his grip on sanity starts to slip, but here's the kicker, his daughter's on set, watching Daddy Dearest unravel like a reel of film in a projector jam. The film's gonna have you questioning every twisted corner. Is Crow's character falling back into the abyss of addiction, or is he actually crossing the line into demonic territory? And let's not forget the mind behind all this madness, Joshua John Miller. If that name rings hollow, let's fill it in. His dad, Jason Miller, was Father Karras in The Og, The Exorcist. Talk about family business, huh? Shit gets personal for Miller, who's directing from a script co-written with M.A. Forden. It's a bold step into the dark, with Miller drawing from his childhood overshadowed by stories of curses and on-set diabolical mishaps. The Exorcism isn't just putting another possession story on the table. It's flipping the whole fucking table over. Now, if that doesn't amp up your enthusiasm, know that the film's got Kevin Williamson signed on as producer. The horror maestro behind Scream doesn't fuck around when it comes to scarring our collective psyche, and with him in the mix, The Exorcism promises to be a cut above your average cinematic conjuring. So, what's in store for us with this meta-horror trip? Let's face it, a little creative twist in the demonic possession game is just what the witch doctor ordered. It's fresh blood for an ancient ritual, and it's pegged to spook the living hell out of us. Whether we're peering behind the scenes or staring straight into the abyss, The Exorcism is smashing the mirror between performer and performance, and trust me, it's gonna be a motherfucking spectacle. The Exorcism checks into theaters on June 7th, and later this year, it'll haunt Shudder. Carve the date into your forehead, or better yet, just set a reminder on your phone. This is one ungodly affair you sure as hell don't want to miss. Stay tuned, cuz I'll be back to dissect everything we learn about this beast as it crawls closer. Until then, keep the holy water handy and the crucifix close. You've been warned. Well, Fright Fiends, that does it for another bone-chilling edition of the Horror Report. I've been your ghost host with the most, the one and only Dr. Golula, guiding you through the shadowy corridors of all things horror. If tonight's tales of terror tickled your spine or if you've got some eerie insights of your own to share, don't lurk in the dark, join the hellish hubbub. Hit us up using the hashtags #TheHorrorShow or #DrGolula. You can also send your screams and whispers through the cobweb corners of the internet to thehorrorreport@gmail.com. Make sure you resurrect yourselves for more spine-tingling stories every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And don't forget, every Tuesday is the witching hour with Mona Hex, casting spells and telling tales to curdle your blood. Then, every Thursday, dive into the abyss of cinema with the Movie Pit Podcast, hosted by the nocturnal cinephile Boozer. As the crypt creaks closed on tonight's episode, remember that the darkness is always listening, the shadows are always shifting, and somewhere, the night is always alive with the unspeakable. Let it remind you that light's true beauty is born out of the engulfing darkness that surrounds it. Until next time, keep your eyes wide in the darkness, and no matter what you do, never, ever turn out the light. Because remember, sweet nightmares are made of these, and who am I to disagree? Stay creepy, motherfuckers.